Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman. We are back from the 2022 draft in Montreal. Mike, it was so great getting to see everybody, getting to actually be at a draft in person.
Yes, it was, Adam. It was really exciting. I mean, to get there on Thursday, first round. And you know what? At a live draft, it just seemed as though everything was flowing, moving along. And that's what you like as media members, right? Have it move along. There were a lot of surprises, which we will get into with our guest who usually closes out every NHL draft class season with us, Craig Button of TSN. Looking forward to this, Adam.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Let's bring in Craig. He's the smartest one of the bunch. But Craig Button, Director of Scouting for TSN, thank you for joining us today on NHL Draft Class. How are things going?
I'm great, and it's always a pleasure to join you and Mike on Draft Class. It's always a fun conversation.
So, Craig, just to start off here, you know, I know it must have been nice seeing Adam, but admit it, how special was it for you to see me again, one of your best buddies, live, in person, once again at an NHL draft? Come on.
You're exactly right. You know what? Like, what did I do? You saw me when I first saw you. I was jumping up and down. It gave you a great big hug. And,
yes.
You know? And
absolutely.
Like, that was the beautiful thing about the draft. The first time since 2019, everybody was together, right? To watch the young players in the stands, you know, embrace their family and their friends as their name was being called, to come up on the stage and, you know, Gary Bettman greeting them. You know, Gary was so gracious too. He took the young players' jackets as they were getting ready to take on their new team's jersey and then got over there for the picture. It was fabulous. I have goosebumps talking about it because, you know, sometimes we don't realize how special things are until we don't see them for a couple years in this case. But boy, did Montreal do a fantastic job. And, you know, to have the draft back in person was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So obviously this draft will be remembered for its uniqueness, Craig, the volatility, particularly at the top of the draft. But what maybe surprised you the most?
You know, the easy thing to say would be, okay, where Montreal ultimately landed on Juraj Slafkovský. But they made it very clear that they were considering three players. And there wasn't a clear-cut player here. And you could understand why they would consider any one of those three players. And when you look at it and you evaluate, you know, what their skills were, their individual skills, they were all very different. So, you know, I think Montreal did a very nice job of saying, hey, listen, here's who we're considering. I mean, they laid it out for everybody. They said, we're considering three players. And then ultimately when the selection came, I wasn't surprised in that regard, because it was like, okay, that's the guy they thought. But what became really interesting was when they announced that they had traded for Kirby Dach. To me, then it made 100% sense that you're going to take Juraj Slafkovský to build your size on the left wing with skill after, you know, you're getting Kirby Dach. It was that was brilliant, I thought, by the Montreal Canadiens and Kent Hughes, because, you know, you draft Shane Wright, then you trade for Kirby Dach. Okay, you still have some holes in other areas of your lineup. So once we heard that, I just said, this perfectly aligned for the Montreal Canadiens to get the big winger, Slafkovský, and then to come back with the big 21-year-old. Can you believe a 21-year-old third overall draft pick got traded? It blows my mind.
So I want to stick with Slafkovský for a second, Craig. You know, whether you're surprised he went there or not, do you think he's NHL ready and can be in their lineup come opening night in October?
You know what, Adam, what I would say is you have to consider that he could compete for a spot in the NHL. I mean, you watch what he did at the Olympics. You watch what he did at the World Championships, you know, in the SM Liga, which is a little bit more of a defensive league. You know, he acquitted himself very well. So the vast majority of players aren't ready for the NHL. But I would say that Juraj Slafkovský, because of his experiences last year, and not just playing, we're talking about having significant success. I would say that, you know, he comes to training camp. Here's how I'll answer it. I'll be surprised if he's not in the lineup on opening night for the Montreal Canadiens.
I think the pick that is going to create plenty of talking points in the future is Arizona's at number three. Logan Cooley versus Shane Wright. The Coyotes go with Cooley. Bill Armstrong gave his reasoning. But now knowing the big picture, and why teams may have passed on Wright, whether it was a positional need, the type of player that fits their culture. What would be your advice to Shane Wright?
It's the same thing that, you know, I would say to any player. Okay, so the draft happens, and you now, it's out of your control. You can only control what you do on the ice. The teams make their selections. So now for Shane is to go and play. Like, I talked to Ron Francis, the GM of Seattle, on Thursday night, and I said, he ends up in a spot with you as the manager. He has a game like Ron Francis. And I said, Ron, I hope you see some of yourself in him. And he's kind of chuckled. He goes, we're pretty thrilled to have Matty Beniers and Shane Wright up the middle of the ice. Here's what Ron finished with. He said, if you can't build your team at center ice position and on the blue line and in the net, you're not going to have success. And he was absolutely thrilled. You know, I thought Shane, put a lot of pressure on himself this year, and different players handle the pressure of the draft in different ways. Obviously, you know, when you're, you know, forecast to be the first overall pick, you've been dealing with it for a long time. But Ron Francis also told me this. He said, you know, having spent time with Shane pre-draft and interviews and whatnot, he said, after we selected him, he says, it was almost like the weight of the world was off his shoulders. It was almost like, okay, I know where I'm at. I know where I'm going to play. And I think Shane and, you know, your coaches remind him of this over the course of the year. I know his agents did. Just go and play. But it's easy for us to say that. We don't have hundreds of pairs of eyes on us evaluating every single move, every single shift that he goes through. He's a really good player. You guys know he's a really good player. Now we just got to go and play. And I think he'll benefit just going and playing. And he can't do anything about the draft anymore. None of the players can. That's what happened that draft day. Here's what I say to players. Here's my finish on this. On draft day, you got drafted exactly where you should have been drafted. Because no team was prepared to draft you before that. So you got drafted right in your slot. So now your choice is to show everybody that they were wrong, that you should have been drafted higher. That's what I would tell the Shane Wright. Show everybody that you should have been drafted higher. Because you didn't, but you now through your play can do that.
So Craig, let's spread it out a little bit. Let's look at the top 10, 15 picks, let's say. Was there a player that either went earlier than you expected or maybe later than you expected?
Well, for me, Adam, like, you know, it didn't surprise me one bit when New Jersey took Simon Nemitz. I mean, to me, they were not going to take a centerman. I mean, I think they would have absolutely loved to have drafted Slavkovsky to add some size around Hughes and Heischer. But, you know, that being said, Simon Nemitz is a really so that didn't surprise me. You know, as time went on, I'll tell you that, and because I saw him and I've seen him play so well, Joachim Kemmel going 17 to the Nashville Predators. I know I went outside your range there a little bit, Adam, but to me, I see a terrific, fantastic player. And, you know, he was leading the SM Liga in goals and points to the end of November as a 17-year-old. And, you know, I asked somebody over in Finland, I said, if he would have started out slow and finished like he started, do you think he would have been drafted higher? And he said, absolutely. He goes, you know, recent evaluation. But he was great at the U18 championship. I mean, he was a real factor, not just for Team Finland winning the bronze, but in the entire tournament for all players. He was the big surprise for me. I really think he fell to 17, along with Jonathan Lekkerimäki. To Vancouver at 15, who led the U18 in scoring, had a fantastic, debut in the SHL in Sweden. And I think those two players are going to show that they should have been drafted higher. That's my belief on this day following the draft. But those are the two guys. Other than that, Adam, you know, the range of players, you look at it, you know, somebody goes 5 instead of 8 or somebody goes 9 instead of 6. I try to look at it in a range. For me, Lekkerimäki and Kemmel falling, going a little bit deeper into the first round, those were the ones that got my attention. And I was waiting for their names to be called because I said, somebody's going to get a good player here.
I'm with you, Craig. I believe, and I'm sure Adam had the same in his mock. We both had Lekkerimäki and Kemmel earlier. I think I might have been top 10, right?
Top 10 on my top 10 for both of us. Yeah,
for both of us.
Yeah, very you surprising. Did. I check out your mock drafts. Don't worry. I pay attention to all your work, right? No, but you know what's interesting? I mean, you guys put in so much time and effort into it. And, you know, one of the things you try to do in terms of doing mock drafts, evaluation, and everything, is just try to, okay, how are other people looking at it? Am I off a little bit or somebody else? So, you know, it does, and again, like, it's because of the work and the effort you put in and the knowledge you have that gives me comfort to say, okay, I'm in a right range here. And it's the same way I look at it with those players, but you both had those guys in the top 10.
So I'd be remiss, Craig, if I didn't discuss a team that I cover regularly during the regular season, the New Jersey Devils. So I credit the Devils and their scouting department here for sticking to their guns. You know, Mark Dennehy didn't come out and tell me that, you know, Slafkovský was number one on their draft board, but you kind of get that feeling he was. So right-handed D, Simon Nemec had to be number two. That's where he was picked, and they stuck to it and got, in my opinion, probably the best defenseman in this class. What do you think of Nemec and the ceiling on this young man? Because I know when we were talking about him at the draft, pre-draft, you also thought very highly of David Jiříček as well.
Yeah, so I have a couple of things to say on that. The first question I had as a New Jersey Devils fan, as you declared, do you paint your face like David Putty? Do you go to games and paint your face like David Putty?
I cannot make it as perfect as David Putty, and I wouldn't even attempt or try to do it. He's the man.
Well,
he's the man.
Well, none of us would really know. None of us would really know. You could just be a avid New Jersey Devils fan who's into face painting, right?
I would love to see that.
Yeah. So, you know, I go back a couple of years. I go back, Mike, to the 2017 draft. And, you know, you talk about Mark Dennehy, you know, saying, hey, you know, so taking the second player on their list and Slafkovský won. Their debate in 2017 was Hischier Makar. That's where it was at. It was right there. So we all know now what Makar has become, right? And I really believe that watching Simon Nemec and the way he's played and seeing that right shot defenseman, he has some dynamic qualities to his game. He's great with the puck. He's poised. He's intelligent. And he's another player that's played. He's played up and, you know, in pro leagues and played very well this year in the Slovak Extra League of playoffs. He was dominant. He was a dominant player. Again, maybe not the same kind of profile as Slafkovský at the Olympics and the World Championships. But to me, that type of a right shot defenseman, you know, that can move the puck and inside the offensive zone that can make those plays, what I call threading the needle, precision type plays that create offense. I think Simon has all of those abilities. And I think that Simon adds those qualities to a team that has some really dynamic forwards. And you start to think of what Makar meant to those dynamic forwards in Colorado. I think that Simon can be very similar to in just taking the New Jersey Devils level of play higher with what we call today the modern style defenseman. Sometimes they're going to lead the attack. You know, we talk about joining the attack. Sometimes they lead the attack. And I think Simon has those qualities. And I just think that he's a player that has so much offensive talent and is somebody that's going to fit so nicely in with the New Jersey Devils. Remember, they have Ty Smith and they have big Kevin Ball, you know, and Dougie Hamilton, who's there, who kind of had an injury crossed season this year. You know, it's not like you have to take Simon and push him ahead. You know, he's got some insulation there and you start to balance out your the defense group. You got Mooka Mudulin. I think New Jersey has announced that he's going to go back and play in the KHL next year for another season. So you look at all those players, they're all kind of different types of players. You need a blend of players. And I think that Simon really fits in there nicely.
Yeah. Just adding to that too. I mean, Ryan Graves really played well last year. Yep. And to me, Jonas Siegenthaler was probably one of their most consistent D guys last year. So they have something going there as far as defense. And when you take a guy like Simon, no doubt about it, Craig, it's going to bolster their pipeline. But I realize it's early. It's probably fair to say all 32 clubs did something to bolster their prospect pool or their current lineup. But were there maybe one, two, three teams, Craig, that got your attention for what they did?
I would start with the Seattle Kraken, you know, just because they had so many picks. And, you know, for Ron Francis and the group there, they're trying to build out. You know, it's not like you can say, okay, we have Jack Hughes and we have Nico Hischier. you know, we can pass a centerman and go for a defenseman. You know, I think it's accumulation of skill and talent for the Seattle Kraken. And I think they did a really, really good job of doing that. And, you know, some really skilled players. I mean, you get Jagr Furkus in the second round. I mean, I think Jagr's a really skilled player. I think in time, once he physically matures, he's going to be able to, but I really think they did a really, really nice job of accumulating talent and skill. And they're still in their infancy. So they would be the one team. You'd be remiss in not saying the Montreal Canadiens, because, you know, you start to look and you get the big winger and Slavkovsky, but to be able to trade for Kirby Dach, I still scratch my head trying to figure out, Kirby Dach, and I don't want to say all you got the 13th pick. Like, doesn't there seem to be a bigger market for Kirby Dach, a 21-year-old 6'4" centerman with that type of skill? So when I look at what Montreal did just right there in the first hour of the NHL draft, just in the first hour, you know, how they were able to, take their team and really significantly improve their skill and their size. You know, I thought it was magnificent. And I think you guys know how much I love Lane Hutson. I think if Lane Hutson was 5'11", he might have been in the conversation for first overall. But, you know, we know what happens when you're 5'8.5" and you're undersized right now. We know what Lane did, telling everybody and showing him the report that he would grow more. But when I watch Lane play and I watch his abilities, you know, to control the game. I don't know how many times I've watched Lane Hutson play. It's 20 times or I don't know, something like that. I never left a game going, oh, he's going to have a challenge here. He's going to have a challenge there. I know at that size is going to be different, but he never gets himself in those spots. He always gets himself into areas where he can take advantage. And so I just look deeper down and I just look at what they were able to do with respect. And I would be remiss in not mentioning Owen Beck. Owen Beck was the first pick in the second round. And he's going to be a really good player. You know, he's so cerebral. So I start to think up the middle of the ice in time, Suzuki, Dach, Beck. You know, you start to build your center ice in that respect. And Marty St. Louis and Kent Hughes have talked about hockey sense. Owen Beck's hockey sense is off the charts.
I'm right with you, Craig. Lane Hutson was a guy that I loved watching when I watched him on video. And Mike and I met with him at the combine, and he said that he saw an endocrinologist and said, you know, his bone age is younger than his chronological age. Though he could grow, he could actually hit that 5'10", 5'11" mark. So, yeah, I think that was a steal pick for the Canadiens. But as we close the book on the 22 draft and we start looking ahead to 2023, and I know you've already got your book already well written, all the attention turns to Connor Bedard. Does he have the potential to fit into that Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews, generational type player? And I know we're a year away, so we're way out in front of everything. But is he the slam dunk number one pick, or could this be another year like this year where there's a legit discussion of who could go number one, a Slavkovsky, a Wright, a Cooley, or is it Bedard and then everybody else slots in after him?
You know, at this point in time, Adam, I think it's Bedard standing alone and everybody else is after. He scored 51 goals as a 16-year-old in the Western Hockey League. I mean, you start to think about the capabilities and the skills that he has. He's been an outstanding player on the international stage against players 2 years older than himself, you know, at the World Junior, the abbreviated World Junior last December. He excelled again against players 4, 3, and 4 years older than him. You know, he reminds me so much of Steve Yzerman because he's got what I call the four corners of excellence. He's got great hockey sense. And when I talk about hockey sense, you know, he processes in real time. Like, you know, he sees what's facing him and he's able to adjust and adapt and everything. Secondly, he's an outstanding skater and he's got speed, but quickness and chain. He's like an F1 formula racer. He's like Lewis Hamilton that you have to downshift and then, you know, corner and everything. So he's got that type of, he keeps defenders right on their heels because you never know what he's going to be able to do. He's got the magnificent hands, you know, and the ability to operate in tight spaces, you know, handle the puck, make plays. He's a really terrific playmaker. And then number four, he's got NHL scoring ability. You know, when you mention Auston Matthews, how many centers do we see really with that scoring, that shot? You know, and I think that that's what Connor has. He's got equal amounts of playmaking and scoring ability. And to me, when you look at what I call the four corners of excellence and elite skill, you know, Connor has them all. And to me, there's other players. We can talk about Michkov. We can talk about Fantilli. I've seen those guys, watch them. I think right now, somebody's going to have to really take their game to another level to surpass Connor Bedard.
Only Craig Button can make the correlation between a Formula One racer downshifting and upshifting to a hockey player, right? Only Craig, right?
From Connor Bedard to Steve Yzerman to Lewis Hamilton. That wasn't the triangle I was expecting to see this morning, but hey, I'll take it.
Hey, one more, Craig, before we
– Can I just add one thing, too? I want to add one more thing about Connor. He's like Steve Yzerman in this regard, too. He's got a killer instinct. Still waters run deep. Steve had a steely determination to find a way to be successful and to do whatever it took to win. Connor, to me, has that same type of personality.
Peter Sullivan, the veteran of NHL Central Scouting, over 25 years of experience, said the same thing, Craig. He has that edge about his game that he really likes. But one final question here. So after Bedard, there's Adam Fantilli, Dalibor Dvorsky, Matvei Michkov, Callum Ritchie, Braden Jaeger. Is this like an entire second tier, or can you narrow it down with those players I just mentioned? Or is there another player that's out of the loop here that I didn't mention?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of players I would mention. You know, it was funny. I was talking to a couple of the scouts after the draft on Friday, and they were saying, well, you're going to spend a lot of time in Western Canada next year. And I was thinking, like, I'm looking at the teams, and they're all teams that are playoff teams. And I'm thinking to myself, you guys shouldn't be spending time in the West. Those guys are all going to be high picks. You know, Connor Bedard, you know, Zachary Benson, who plays with the Winnipeg Ice. He's a fantastic player. He reminds me so much of Patrick Kane. You know, Riley Height, who plays up in Prince George. You know, Andrew Crystal, who plays in Kamloops. I mean, the Western Hockey League next year could have five of the first 7-8 picks. That's how deep the West is next year. But, you know, you're going to have other good players, you know, start to show what their capabilities are. At this point in time, I think that next tier of players that you just mentioned, I mean, Dvorsky's a hell of a player. Like, you know, we talk about Slovakia's on the rise here. I mean, You think about what Miro Shatan has done over there, and you know, they're going to go to the World Junior in August, and they're going to come back in December. They're going to be a force. They're not a team that's just going to fill out the schedule. They're a team now that's capable of competing for medals, because their depth of talent is tremendous. And so you start to look, there's a couple of Czech players, Chalet, who's an outstanding player. He's already got some pro games in him. And then Jakub Petr, who's been a longtime coach with the Czech program, his son is another outstanding player. So, you got a Slovak and Dvorsky, you got the two Chalet and Petr with the Czechs. You know, we're going to have another international flavor again. And, you know, I think that just speaks volumes about the depth of skill and talent. But to the scouts that said that they were going, the scouts that I was talking to, there was three of them. They're all playoff teams. And I said, you guys got no chance. Don't spend your time there. You got to go spend your time deeper down in the draft.
Well, we're going to spend all next season talking about the 23 draft. Thank you so much, Craig Button, for joining us to wrap up the 22 draft, to look ahead to 23. Thank you for joining us on NHL Draft Class today.
Always my pleasure. Always my pleasure.
Mike, Craig Button, always, always, always an outstanding guest. And that's why we keep him for the season finale, because we want to make that one of the best. And Craig always delivers.
He does. He does. You know, his responses to the questions, you know, were so well thought out, top of his head, and he's still able to give those quality responses. And, you know, I really liked the discussion that we had there, not only at the top with Yuri Slafkovsky and how much he liked what Montreal did at the draft, Adam, but just the discussion in general on the Logan Cooley, Shane Wright debate, right? I mean, you know, I listened to GM Bill Armstrong's, you know, analysis when he was asked about, well, why did you take Cooley over Wright? And that's going to be, as I mentioned to Craig, it's going to be a major talking point. And I'm curious, you know, I look forward to your redraft of this draft in maybe 10 years, right, Adam? Because I'll be curious to see where Cooley and Wright fall in that. But, you know, Bill Armstrong said that they're different players for us. He said that Wright's a good player in a sense that he can shoot the puck and he's really elite at that, where Cooley is more of a skater, able to push the pace, plays a little bit faster, and for him is more of a puck mover, which is very interesting. Interesting thoughts from Armstrong and his scouting team. He felt as though Cooley makes players around him better, where Wright's a dominant shooter. He kind of stressed that Wright had this one quality as a shooter. Personally, I think there's a lot of other qualities in Wright. So that being said, I just think it's going to be a unique, interesting scenario moving forward.
I don't think there was a wrong pick for either team. I think both guys, and you talked about it, their individual skills or individual talents, both of those guys trend to be very, very good players. And like, if you're Seattle now, you've got Matty Beniers, who we talked about last year was maybe the best two-way forward in the draft. And now you look at Shane Wright for all the offensive skills. We know he's a very good defensive player, very good on faceoffs. Now they got another really strong two-way center. So, you know, when Craig talked about with Ron Francis, you know, championship teams are built through the middle of the ice. So now you've got two foundational centers. Now they look towards building out that defense, finding a goaltender, you know, to build around for, you know, in the past, past Philip Grubauer. So you can see some really interesting building blocks there in Seattle. So I think they're very lucky to get Shane Wright. I think they're very lucky to get arguably the best player in the draft at number four.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And just on that topic, that was the team that I really liked. I thought had a fantastic draft, Adam. I love what Seattle was able to do. I know Craig discussed it, but you know, coming into this program, this show, I was trying to think about teams that really had successful, really dominant type drafts. And Seattle was that. I mean, they gained more prospects at every position to deepen the roster. They had four picks in the second round, all of which I think they hit somewhat home runs, if not triples. And, you know, they have 13 more picks in 2023, including nine in the first four rounds. So Seattle's on a mission here. And now they're set up for how long, 10 years, 15 years down the middle of the ice. You know, Shane Wright, the skating, the IQ, the two-way game, amazing. Jagr Furkus, who Craig discussed, second round, number 35. I know he's an undersized type forward, but he has that plenty of offensive upside that we love to see. We watched him at the CHL Top Prospects game. He was outstanding. You know, right wing Yanni Nyman at 49th overall, a winger with size, has a great shot. David Goyette, right, Adam, second round, number 61 of Sudbury, a left-handed center, led the OHL, you know, rookies in goals this year and in points. Ty Nelson, a right-handed D, who many had projected late first round, second round. He goes in the third round at number 68. He's been compared to a Ryan Ellis-type player, led all OHL rookies, rookie defensemen in assists and points, power play assists this year. And then they, you know, grab a goalie. We always talk about, I like teams that grab a goalie, no matter what round it is, it might be in, just to have him mature, develop, grow. And Nicholas Kakko of Karpat in Finland goes about 6'3", 184 pounds, was a second-round pick at number 58. I mean, he's projected to be maybe a backup in the future, but really impressive player to get him where they did and have him grow mature. Tucker Robinson was another one. Peterborough, we talked about him on a draft class with Sam Costantino, a right-handed center. He goes in the fourth round at number 123. So I really like what Seattle did in this draft, Adam. Was there a team that kind of struck you?
Yeah, it's the Montreal Canadiens. And I'm not just saying that just because they had the number one pick in the draft, and we all know what Slavkovsky can do and is capable of. But you look at what they got in the second round, and Craig touched on this. Owen Beck, Scholastic Player of the Year in the CHL, got to talk to him a little bit, talk to his coaches a little bit. He showed up in camp, didn't have a role, ends up being that guy that they played in all situations, up a goal, down a goal, first period, third period, power play, penalty kill. You can put him out there against the opposing team's best players. You know, just smart, skilled, all over the ice. And Lane Hudson, I mean, look, I had Lane Hudson first round in my mock draft. I still think he's going to be an excellent player. Second all-time single season scoring for defensemen at the U.S. national team program. All that on-ice stuff, off the ice, he had the presence of mind to go see a doctor who had a report prepared to give to every NHL team that I am 5'8" today. When I'm NHL ready at 19 or 20, I could be 5'10", 5'11". Don't sleep on me. And I think some teams slept on him. And Montreal got very, very, very lucky. He's gonna hit that growth spurt. And you know what? And even if he doesn't hit the growth spurt, even if he stays at 5'8", the kid's got enough skill to play in the NHL, enough skill, enough smart. He understands how to get inside guys, use that small frame to his advantage, to knock guys off balance, to create space for himself. And then the third round, Vincenz Rohrer, the forward from Ottawa in the Ontario League, Austria-born, played in Switzerland, possibly the youngest player in the draft. I didn't check everybody's birthday, but he won't turn 18 until September 9th. So you're getting a guy who's 6 months younger than Yuri Slafkovsky, 9 months younger than Shane Wright, and he's already had 25 goals and 48 points in 64 games with Ottawa, led them in both categories. You know, the skill, the speed. Again, he's a guy that physically right now might be undersized, but he's almost, months and months younger than everybody who got drafted along with him. So if anybody's going to hit that physical growth, it's going to be him. So whatever he is today, you know, give it another year. And he could be 5'11 and 185, 190 pounds. Then you've got an NHL-ready guy with that kind of skill set, that kind of creativity. I really like what Montreal did.
Yeah, they certainly maximized what they did, just like Seattle with 11 picks in the draft. My favorite first-round pick, Adam, you know, looking at it and maybe choosing a player that hasn't been discussed yet, I love what Buffalo did at number 28, the third pick of the draft for the Sabres. The Sabres went wild drafting centers. They got right-handed center Matt Savoy, left-handed center Noah Ostlund, and then they went Yuri Kulich from the Czech Republic. I love Kulich. Has been compared, when I was talking to some scouts, to a Dylan Larkin type of player who is MVP at the U18s, led all skaters with 9 goals. It was the most goals all time by a Czech player in a single U18 tournament. He's the first Czech player to be chosen in the first round since 2018. Smart, offensive-minded, energy-type forward, good skating, speed, soft hands. Kulich is, he's built like a tank, too. 5'11", 178, 180 pounds. He's going to grow, mature even more in the Czech Republic, maybe for a year, 2 years before they bring him up. I thought it was a great pick by the Sabres for their third choice. And you always figure those teams with multiple picks, and we say this all the time, have that option to maybe take a flyer with a player. How about you, Adam? Who'd you like in the first round?
Craig Sinus stole a little bit of my thunder, but I was going to say Joachim Kemmel. At 17 to Nashville, what a steal. You hate to see a guy fell, right? All the way to number 17. He's still a first round pick, but man, he's leading, and Craig talked about, he's leading league in goals and points the first month and a half of the season. Then he has that shoulder injury and knocks him out for 6 weeks. He comes back, plays World Juniors, comes back too soon, has to sit out another month, but he's still 15 goals in 39 games as a 17-year-old in Liga playing against older, physically developed men. That's a hell of a season he had. And for Nashville to get him at 17, that's pretty impressive. So to me, the fact that he was there and available for them, he's a gunner, he's a shooter. That's what they need. They need a guy who can set up in the circle and just pound one-timers. And that's what Kemmel's capable of doing. He's probably going to need at least another season in Liga to just get a little bit bigger, get a little bit stronger, have a fully healthy season. But man, that's a guy that looks ready to stick in a lineup, put him with, on a line with Brian Johansson or Matthew Shane. Man, that's a guy I think that's going to be very popular in Nashville before not too long.
Yeah, and putting a book on this for this season, Adam, this draft, I'm sure fans are curious, what about the second round, players that we might not see for a while or maybe sooner rather than later? But, second round, my favorite pick, the Washington Capitals, number 37 overall, Ryan Chesley from the National Team Development Program. Now, Adam Nightingale, when we had him on NHL Draft Class, you know, earlier in the season, right before the U18s, he characterized Chesley as a big, strong defenseman, can shoot the puck. And he told us that in Chesley's last month of the season with the NTDP, he really took a step up in his defending, did a great job. There's a great ceiling there, and I thought there was great value here in round two. I had Chesley going in the first round, 6'1", goes about 200 pounds, been compared when I spoke to scouts to a Ryan McDonagh. So, you know, you get that steady presence along the blue line, led all NTDB defensemen in goals this season with 12, which is kind of underrated. A lot of people didn't know that, but good skater, defends well, a strong kid who can play physical. I just think he has all the qualities that with, you know, with the right team, the right program, and obviously the Capitals know how to develop these players. He's going to make for a fantastic choice. And I think it'd only be a couple of years before you see him in the NHL. He's committed to the University of Minnesota, so he'll be joining Logan Cooley and company over there. So Ryan Chesley is a player I thought was a great choice in the second round.
One other guy I want to mention is Rieger Lorenz, who went number 56 to the Minnesota Wild out of Okotoks in the Alberta League. You know, he's a guy that you talk to scouts, they compare his game to Alex Killorn. He compares himself to Alex Killorn. He was a top player as a rookie in the Alberta League. He's going to go to University of Denver, NCAA national champions, but he's already got NHL-ready size. Now he's just going to get a little bit stronger, iron out those skills, play against a higher level of competition. I really like what Minnesota did throughout the 2 days of the draft, but, man, getting that guy, that's a guy I thought would be a first-round pick. To get him towards the end of the second round, I think that's outstanding asset value. You know, the fact that he was still there was a little bit of a surprise for me. But, yeah, Rieger Lorenz is a guy that I'm going to very much keep an eye on. I think it won't be too long before he's in that Minnesota Wild lineup. That mix of skill and strength. Yeah, that's a Billy Guerin type player. That's a Minnesota Wild type player.
Yeah, Peter Sullivan, NHL Central Scouting, loved Lorenz and what he was able to do, in junior, and strong physical player. I remember Peter telling me that maybe the only drawback is he shoots the puck all the time. He loves to shoot the puck, but then he says, how is that a drawback? You know, that's something you'd want to see in a player. He's not afraid to shoot. Give me the puck. He's strong on his skates, strong in the corners. Yeah, that's a great pick, Adam. That's, Rieger Lorenz is going to be one of those players down the road that's going to make an impact for sure.
Well, if you want to learn about anybody that your team picked, I highly suggest you go back and listen to previous episodes of NHL Draft Class, where we talked to all the top scouts. We met with a number of the top players. We heard in their words after they got drafted from Yuri Slafkovsky, from Shane Wright, from Logan Cooley, from Simon Nemec. We talked to scouts who covered the Western League, the Ontario League, the Quebec League, all the international leagues. So if there's anybody that you're still curious about, definitely go back and listen to previous episodes of NHL Draft Class. It is free to subscribe, free to download anywhere you want to get it. And Mike, we're going to start building the book to the 23 draft very soon.
Yep. And we talked about that with Craig Button. It's going to be fantastic. We got a great year. We have a generational player. I think you kind of agree with me. Connor Bedard is going to be fun to watch. I can't wait to go to Regina and see what he's all about and talk to teammates, talk to coaches, scouts. It's going to be a lot of fun for sure.
Well, we're going to start building up for season 5 of NHL Draft Class coming up here in the fall. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.